Yes, sir.
Open wide. Say ah.
Welcome to Open Wide Say with myself, Leka Lawless. This is a podcast where we talk about all things sex and sexy and sex-related, sexuality, sensuality. It's an inclusive space. It's a brown and black and fun space. It's our space. This is for conversations that are not in our mainstream media, not in our TV, not in our podcast, not in our radio, definitely not in our school books, and most of the time not part of our conversations at home. Today, this podcast is all around being queer and being Muslim and our identities and how we have to navigate the world. I am joined by a very sexy person that I regard as a friend, but also a great inspiration, a fashion icon, bitch.
Hello.
Hi. So please tell us a bit about yourself. Tell us your name, your pronouns, what you do, who you are. Let the people hear this booming, sexy voice. I thought my voice was sexy and then someone came and ruined it.
No, man, it's not like that.
Can you hear?
Well, hello. It's so nice to see you. My name is Zahir, as you know. Not your top on not Instagram. Yet. My pronouns are he, him. I'm very cishet, but also very gay. Very gay. And yeah, that's basically me. Fashion icon, like you said. Master of the crafts of all, you know, jack of all trades. Yeah.
Okay, I love that. You say cishet, right? Okay, let me just touch there for a moment. Because you present to the world, for those that don't know you, I think it's great that they don't know you. You present and look to the world quite a typical brown, what the world knows as like a man with a beautiful beard and just like quite a masculine outward look. And you know, does that reflect the inward? Like, is that who you are? And do you fuck that up? Like, do you play with it?
I definitely play with it because you know that I'm very non-binary and very open with myself. I'm trying to remember the question.
I mean, no, but you answer that because, I mean, it's just that you look quite masculine and you look quite what the world defines as like a man, you know? And you answer that by saying, you know, you are non-binary, but what is it like to be in the world looking like what we regard, especially in Cape Town, is like a typical brown Muslim man? Yeah.
I mean, there's obviously privileges that come along with it. That's like, you know, just a given fact. And I definitely play on these privileges that I do have, you know, like my safety. That's one of the things that I've noticed from being, how can I say, even though I am queer, but presenting as a man, that is one of the things that I have noticed about myself. But I definitely play around with it. You know, people that do know me know that. But also, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I think one of the first times I saw you in a skirt. And I was just like, oh. My God, what am I gonna do?
Looked really
because
nice.
I mean, what, like, yeah, just yeah. You should have been there, everyone. You should have just been there. So, I mean, navigating the world looking like a Muslim man, and you know your experience of being a Muslim person, and I can't talk about the experience of being Muslim. I can maybe relate in how religion. It's constantly reflected to me and kind of, you know, when people like Bible bash and they will remind you like, oh, but isn't being queer a sin and isn't this a sin and that a sin? And so what is your experience like being queer and being Muslim?
It was in the beginning, you know, a very difficult thing for me to grasp because of my upbringing and within my family. My family is very liberal, but they are grounded in the core values of Islam. So In the sense where when I would go to Jumu'ah prayers, you know, these things were being mentioned, you know, of how being queer is a sin, and you know, me navigating that, it was a very difficult, I would say, a very difficult time for myself, because as a young person, especially, you know, you're not educated about all of these things until you either go out and seek information, or it is just brought down upon you, you know. So I felt it rather heavy and difficult in the beginning, because it was like, am I choosing my sexuality and the person who, you know, the Creator put me on the earth to be, you know, as I am currently here, or do I try to be this ideology of what a Muslim man should be according to faith? So it is a very, you know, you have to be introspective, and you also, you know, question things and things like that. I would always go to my parents, because I'm out.
I was going to ask.
Firstly, I am a proud out Muslim man. That was also something that I wasn't sure that if I could be a proud out Muslim man, because you know of how... you know how it is with slums of families.
Like, haram police will come.
Yeah. So, you know how it is with slums of families. And it was always something for me. It's just like, okay, do I love my truth, you know, and risk it all by potentially being thrown out of the house, you know, out of the family home? Or do, is there... In my reality, could it possibly be where I do love my truth and my family love, respect and support me regardless? And I knew in the beginning already that if I were to come out, that my family would love me regardless, you know, like either way, because what is the name? Caden van Eerden, rest in peace, she passed away recently. Trans icon, pageant queen, you know, everything. She lived around the corner by me, actually, in my area. I knew her pre-transition and also grew up with her throughout, you know, her womanhood. And the one thing that sticks in, that I have, like, the vividly, that's vividly in my mind, is when Caden was competing in Miss Gay Western Cape. I think it's the one that's on YouTube. I don't know if you watched that one. But my mother actually helped make her swimwear for that for that pageant. So even then, back then already, like, I knew, like, yay, but like, I can be myself and my family will still love me and support me for who I am, because they are doing these kind of things for family, friends, and, you know, literally my entire family is so, so supportive, and I am very lucky.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing. It's a privilege to be proud and out and a Muslim man in a society when in reality it should just be a normal thing.
Yeah.
You know, if we're going to be realistic now.
Yeah, because I mean, I do know of a lot of Muslim people that their family is somewhat aware of their sexuality, and but it's kind of unspoken.
Yes, it's thrown under the rug.
Yeah, it's like the uncle that we all know is gay, but nobody's going to actually confront it. And so whether he gets to like live out his truth and actually get married and have a gay lifestyle that is celebrated, or if it's just going to be like very hush hush till the end of time. You know, I love that you said that you knew already that your family would be supportive because your mommy was like supporting other people and other queer people that
my
like you know.
My mom and my dad.
Your mom and your dad.
My dad was sitting there also stoning Caden's panties and things like
Come
that.
Come through with the gemstones.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Okay, I don't have a daddy, but that's why I seek them in the world. You know, that's why I have so many daddy issues. But I love that you could tell that already. Like, my mommy, she is really supportive and she loves other, especially gay colored men. Like, she thinks that the world is like too cruel, and she's very like she wants to, you know, it's her friends and very loving. But when I came out, it was like, yeah, them, but not my child. Yes, you know, and yeah. So I'm glad that for you it was beautiful and that it was really supportive. I want to ask you, like, around your faith, being out and being proud, has it affected your faith? Have you found, like, any sort of modern adaptation of, like, Islam for you? And do you think there is space to kind of adapt faith and religion for ourselves?
Yes. there is space for us to do that, because for me, you know, everybody's interpretations of how they practice and worship, you know, their faith and religion is different but personal to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that I've been reflecting on mostly, to be honest, because it also boils down to, you know, when I discovered that I was queer and sitting in all the sermons on the Fridays, you know, it was very conflicting, and I, in a sense, lost myself where I wasn't really religious or spiritual at all. I wouldn't say it was necessarily a dark time, but it was a time of discovery within myself.
Mm.
You know, so there is space for queer Muslims within Islam. I just feel like that, not, I wouldn't say like that it's gatekeeped or anything, but like there's always people trying to push you down, you know, and that is where it comes into, like, building a sense of community with like-minded queer Muslim individuals. Especially in Cape Town, because it's the Malay quarter of South Africa, you know. So there definitely is space for that.
You know, when you look in Cape Town, it seems, especially if you are queer, that, like, there's a lot of space and that there is community. But if you are very young and, like, new and coming into your sexuality and, you know, dealing a lot with, like, the clash of your faith, and maybe you're not out and you can't really find the space, you know, that it's kind of on TikTok and a little bit on Instagram and hidden on Twitter. But how do you find community and make community, especially here, for people that are looking for community, that are just looking to, I don't know, feel allowed and feel accepted and, that you aren't really represented, but you really want to find your people? And what, like, yeah, how do you find community in Cape Town of queer Muslim people?
If I can be honest with myself, and just with you as well, there isn't necessarily a sense of community. I would say there is an umbrella construct. You know, everybody looks out for one another in that sense, but also... it's like sub communities. I don't know how to explain it.
Mm.
You know, within the umbrella. You know, so like for me, yeah, like I knew nobody. You know, and because I dabble in the arts, you know, that was a way for me to meet new people and network, and that is how I found the people that I, you know, would consider being a part of my community, my personal.
It's fine.
My personal.
I think you
community.
Were used to having such a big thing in front of you.
No,
place,
I'm
but
not.
Clearly, you're not.
I'm not. I'm really not. But that is how I found my sense of community. But also, in the sense of saying that, you know, I do try my best to just be as open as I am, as approachable.
Mm-hmm.
That's the word. I try to be as approachable as I possibly can be for other like-minded queer people. Because like you said, with the youth especially, because in the beginning, you know, I, you know, like recently I took this social media cleanse and break because that is how you can get access to anything in today's age, with me also just being 23 years old and a millennial, you know, everything is done online. Even the work that I do is online, you know. So for me, I try my best to just be approachable for other people, you know. And it is like a, I wouldn't say like a goal, but it's definitely a dream for me to actually see that sense of community, you know, because yes, we know that everyone has each other's back, but like, it's very clicky.
Yeah, it is. You know, I think we need to create more safe spaces or spaces that are curated for us by us.
By us.
You know, like sometimes we go, I found community in going to events and going to like watch and support drag shows or go to a ball or go to a lot of it is centered also, which I think is conflicting for some like Muslim queer people, is it centered around like drinking culture or around bars or and if that doesn't sit well with you, to know there are spaces where you can find you know like events that are not just centered around that or that are around, outside, yeah. And you know, and that aren't centered around like being intoxicated. But I think we need to create more of those spaces, more of our own events, more of our own, like, I don't know, like a queer Muslim picnic. And, you know, and we get to,
yeah.
That is like open and that's just like new and introducing people to each other. I think you have to come out from behind your phone in order to see how many people
there
are.
And participate, you know, because there are things like that do exist in the world, because that's how I in a sense, know of my friend Sadiq. You know, because Sadiq is a lot of things. Sadiq is a lot of things. But also with being part of all of these groups and with networking, you have to kind of put yourself out there, regardless of whether you're comfortable or not, because that is the only way that you are going to find your safe haven.
Yeah. I think also if you can't be out at home, but you can be out in certain public spaces, then it's important to find those spaces.
Those spaces so that you can exist as yourself, you know, and not as this version of yourself.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a sex podcast, right? And you mentioned a little bit like of the online. I don't know what you're comfortable with sharing, but how is it being Muslim, queer, out, but also being really like sex positive and being quite loud about your sex and about the enjoyment of sex? Because I mean, it can either be portrayed as like a celebration of every part of yourself or as like being deviant or I don't know, as like a sin or something. But I think it's amazing how I've seen you is like really sex positive. So what how does that fit into the overlaps of your identity?
Yo. You know, if I really have to, you know, dissect myself like that, there's a lot to me actually. But for me, it's really like nothing, because it's just who I am. You know, my sex positivity was there all along, you know, but like with being Muslim as well, it can be frowned upon, you know. Like, I mean, being queer is frowned upon. Anything, it's basically haram, you know. So in a sense, like you're saying with being deviant and things, to some people I might be portrayed as being very, like, the most deviant.
Yeah, the boy. Police is watching
Yes,
you.
The most deviant boy in this city. But to me personally, it's just me expressing myself, you know, because we do have a right to express ourselves and our voices and, you know, what we, how can I say, not necessarily like, like what you're proud of and that being yourself, you know, because for me it is a celebration of myself, of my body, you know. We all have sex. That is just a Can you swear on here?
Yes, you can swear.
Nice, it's a liquor dung, you know. And it is what is on all of our minds constantly, mm-hmm. even if it's not in the forefront of your head. Like, you perm me thinking about the stuck. And with being like, being young, being queer, being comfortable with myself, this opens up a lot of doors and opportunities. And experiences mainly for myself, because everything that I do is just to better prepare myself for me in the future. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's not like if you're sex positive now, you're not going to be sex positive tomorrow. Like, yeah. It's a, how can I say, something that you unlock within yourself, you know, with being comfortable with yourself. And, you know, like I said, with being deviant and being frowned upon, people can see it like that. But also with you being comfortable and open with yourself, it is also you, in a sense, being an activist for this.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm super comfortable with people knowing my business. I have a liquor body, if I have to say so for myself.
We've seen.
I'm cock sexy. So why not? And like, because we are going towards this topic now, why not monetize off of that as well?
Mm.
You know, so yeah.
I mean, if I look like you, I'd be making a lot more money. I mean, my...
No, but you look like yourself, though.
I do look like myself. That's fine. I make my own money. It's
exactly.
Right. My money did actually just come in from OnlyFans, like, yesterday.
Nice. So, nice.
I mean, around monetizing, especially when it comes to, like, sexual celebrations of ourselves... I have always been like a very sexual being. I think everyone is a sexual being.
That is
like actually what and who we are. And sex is power, and like to be able to be in control of that for yourself and to kind of like celebrate that part of yourself is power, you know. And sex kind of centers, everything centers around sex. Like money really does come from sex. Power comes from sex. Business, creativity, everything comes kind of from like a sexual source. And if you can tap into that, I think you'll be like a lot more fulfilled and a lot more grounded and wholesome and just, yeah, and liquor. So what has it been like, you know, to kind of show quite intimate parts of yourself and to celebrate your body and to be monetizing off sex?
For me, no, like, it's not even that intimate. Not, like, just to me personally, mm-hmm. because I am so sex positive and open-minded, you know, like, it's not that, like, deep.
It's not that deep.
Yeah, because like you mentioned, with it being power, you know, with me, in a sense... I wouldn't say exposing myself, but like just with me existing on a online platform, especially like Twitter, has been empowering for myself. Because the main or the so the backstory
Take us back.
So the backstory to all of this is because I'm sexy, I'm hot, like
oh, yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
because I'm rich, I have nice body parts and everything, people always used to catfish other people with my things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't like see it but like I remember once I was chatting with somebody on Grindr and we exchanged nudes and things like that. But also, like, I'm very comfortable with just sharing nudes because it's, to me, it's just nude.
Yeah.
You know.
And like you said, you look liquor, so.
I do. It's nice.
Yeah. When you have a really, like, pretty penis, it's also quite, like, easy to share a picture. Body,
you know, if you just look liquor, man, like, yeah. on cam. So what happened to me was when the said person sent me a nude, they sent me my nude. That I sent a while back, but I was just like,
"That's my.
This is
ass.
In my hole. Like, this is in my hole." And I was just like, like, aware, maybe this isn't my whole pick. Like, what is going on?
Where did you get this?
Where did you get this? But also, like, I know I sent it, but he's like straying me up, like, no, this is my ass. And I was just like, no, that isn't me. I can send you this picture here, the other frame of this picture, the different angle of me wearing that same outfit. And then I was just like, you know what? I'm tired of this, because it happened on Twitter as well. Where my nudes were almost not like exposed, but like on a local page, those local pages. And I was like, I mean, it's getting a lot of likes, but I don't like the fact that they're doing it without my consent. You know, because everything that you do regarding sex has to be consensual. You know, and I felt very violated in all honesty. And the only way for me to not feel violated was to take power, control, and charge of my body and the way I can exist online. So I posted my own nudes.
Liquor.
I was like, yeah, my body's liquor. I'm going to post my own things. You know, we're going to give the people not necessarily what they want, you know, because in a sense, it's not about anybody. It's just about me and myself. How I choose to express myself, whether it be with sex or art, you know, like, it merged as well. You know, there's lots of potential for expression like that.
Yeah.
So that's how that came about.
I think it's really creative and it is really beautiful and it is an art form also.
It is.
So if you're making money off it, I mean, you are combining very many aspects of your life.
So, so much.
And have you kind of like presented yourself, especially like online regarding the sex world, as like a Muslim straight person, as a Muslim gay person? Like, what has been your most attraction towards you?
So,
I'm only saying this because I have some inside information. Because I've been there looking.
Well, I'm glad that you're looking, you know, because I also look at your things.
We must support Muslims.
We must support one another. But for me, you know, it was my business mindset kicking in. It's like, how can I create this online persona of myself, which is not necessarily not true? Like, that's a part of me that exists within myself. You know, just your local colored bra, you know, your colored boy. I do present as DL, you know, which is another problematic community that is piggybacking off of all the pain and toil of the openly queer community, you know.
Explain to our listeners, what is the DL community? Like, it's not even a community, but yeah.
I'm just grouping them, you know, because they don't care about one another. They just care about the night. Basically, just down low, want nothing to do with your queerness, want nothing. It's just a nigh and by.
Yeah.
Nigh and so by community.
It's mostly like people that present as straight that just want to, but they will fuck and they just like.
Yeah, it's hush hush.
Yeah, very hush hush. They're living a like straight life, but they will know you on the side and you mustn't talk about it. It's very down low. Yes, that's it. That's it.
Literally that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in a sense, because of the way I do present in the world as well, you know, like, I can't help that I have this body, you know. So for me, the most sensible business of you know, business opportunity for me was, or marketing opportunity was for me to market myself in that light. When in reality, you know, it's not like that.
Yeah.
You know, but that is just an online persona, you know, a version of myself that exists within me.
I love that. I mean, like, make your money. I, like, a lot of people want to see me, like, get fucked by, like, cis dick. And then I'm like, yeah, okay, but I'm, like, very much into pussy or, like, femme people. And so not all of them have dicks. So now that is all you want to see? I'm like, okay, fine. And then I'm like, but I'm also, like, extremely dominant, but everyone requests me to see videos of me being fucked up. And I'm like, okay, fine. But can't you see a lick of video of me, like, you know,
exactly,
being the dumb bitch? No, we want to see you, like, big. I'm like, okay. So I have to portray and take that into account. That if I want to make some good money, everyone wants to see me in quite, like, a submissive position. And so, yes, that is a performance part of me. I'm definitely, I have, like, sub aspects, but it's not the main aspect of me.
Yeah.
So I like that you make money off that. I mean, most gay men that I know love the porn industry that showcases straight men that are fucking on the side. You know, that like, oh no, but he's straight. I'm like, okay, fine. If we're all going to play pretend, it's right. You know, like, that's what gets you off. Like, you're looking for a bi man, or you're looking for a straight man that's like, okay, but you will know.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm glad you played in there. So I want to ask you, I mean, you found love. You are all coupled up and, like, cute. And we don't see the person's face or anything online. But we see that there is a person and there is love. What is it like being in, like, a queer relationship and, you know, like, yeah.
It's very nice, to be honest.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. I always wanted this for myself. But, I mean, I also knew that it would take not necessarily a while, but, like, the right mindset, maturity. I would have to have the right mindset and maturity in order to be in a sustainable, healthy, most importantly, queer relationship. So for me, I mean, I met my partner, I met my partner, by doing, my sex work on the side. We met and, like, there was a click. It was almost like I knew him for a long time and I was like, no, man, like, I must drop you now, but I don't want you to go, you know. Then it became a thing of like, can I talk about that?
The lover is here, everyone. The lover is here. The babes is here.
Yeah, like, we would see each other almost like every week, but like a clump times in the week, you know, after just meeting one another. And I was like, I know this feeling. It's the queer version of falling, where you just meet each other, then you're married already, you know?
Like, you don't want to leave each other alone.
You just met, you know? So I was just like, you know, I'm not looking for anything, because my previous relationships, I'm very thankful and grateful for everybody that has been in a relationship with me, because I learned a lot about myself, how to not necessarily be good to people, but be good to myself. And that would like shine and radiate through into the relationship, you know, for it to be healthy and sustainable. So yeah, I have a book.
Is he Muslim?
He's everything.
He's everything.
He's everything, you know. He's my, not by choice. Like, I, after my social media break and everything, I realized that, like, things aren't really what they seem, you know, like, not that it's best to keep a low profile or anything, but, like, the less people know about your personal life, the better, because, you know, yeah, people would talk and wish bad things upon you.
It's really true.
The main thing, and if they do, it's, like, it's their manifestations. You know, it might come into reality, and then, you know, you are the person dealing with the bad juju, you know. So in order for me to protect myself from all of that, but also to protect my partner from all of that, you know, because yes, like, because I explained to him, like, that, yes, I am queer, you know, I am queer, but I'm also me. You know, and because of my upbringing within the community, I wouldn't be sitting here today if I never ran straight to the Joel, to Zero, Yersel in the Vatican. with Zone after our shifts, you know, at our first job. Like, if I hadn't done that and hadn't met people within the community and befriended so many people, I wouldn't be the person that I am today. But yeah, that's how it all ties in, because also, like, through this relationship, I've learned so much about myself as well. You know, I have learned so much about myself, and that's where it comes in with my expression and everything again. It's like, yes, I can present as whoever I want to present as, you know, at that moment, but it doesn't take away from the fact that I am just still me at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's really beautiful. And yeah. I think to see like a true reflection of you and a most honest version of you, I don't even have to ask if you are happy, because I can see that you are happy. And I can see that, like, you know, whether you are expressing yourself in a queer way or whether you're expressing yourself in any way, I can just see that it's just you, and you're like coming more into you.
Yes.
And that's beautiful to see.
Thank you. Because I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's the lockdown also influenced me learning about myself, you know, in the sense where, because I'm not going to lie, I felt like I was getting lost in my queerness.
Mm.
In all honesty, I felt like I was drifting away from the person who I knew that I truly am, you know, with my models and my upbringing, especially from my Muslim family. Just like all of these things seem to be dwindling, when in reality they were here all this time, you know, but kind of blinded by my queerness. So it was a, how can I say, almost like a not a wake-up call, but a realization that I could exist, you know, in both, you know.
In all of it.
In all of it.
In all of it. You know, I often get lost in just, because I came out really late to my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I only came out last year.
I heard in your other podcast.
I mean,
yeah.
the bitch has been gay forever. And like, you know, fucking everybody and anybody. But I only came out last year. And so now for the last, like, especially because of lockdown and not being able to see community and be around people and just kind of stuck around family, it's like all I wave is that I'm queer. I just keep saying like, oh, but I'm gay and I'm a lesbian and I'm pan and I'm queer and I'm non-binary. And it's like, if I put another fucking rainbow on anything, I'm going to puke. But, you know, like, that's all I felt like I was saying for the last year. And I was just also getting trapped and lost in just my queerness. But I am also like a professional actor. I am also, are you okay?
I was burping.
Let it out. And, you know, like, I'm a professional actor. I am a business person. I am a sex worker. I am all of these things where I can't just keep saying I'm a queer actor. I'm a queer. You know, like, people then, I think, just kind of like want to see me and talk to me through the community and through like Pride Month and through like, yeah, just through that lens, and we are so much more.
But not as Lauren.
Yeah. You know? So for a lot of young people that see themselves in you, that maybe see themselves through their religion in you and like as a young queer Muslim person that's coming into themselves, because we don't see that really reflected in mainstream media. We don't see that in anything that's related around sex within media. What advice do you have to like the baby queers that are looking at you and going, I can't be out at home or I can't be out in spaces, but you are kind of representing and being a representation of them?
I would just say, you know, don't overthink things too much, because sometimes your biggest enemy can be yourself. And most importantly, just stay true to the person who you are, you know. But also, with being queer, you have to take in all of these other factors, like potentially, you know, being disowned from your immediate family and extended possibly. So I wouldn't say like don't come out with things like that, but I'd just say just stay true to yourself, be respectful, be the person that you are, you know, that people know and love, you know. And if you feel like you want to talk to people, you know, other queer people, whether it be in queer Muslim people especially, you know, nobody will turn you down. Mm. You know, I mean, I always have time to talk to people, baby queers, baby queer Muslims, whether they ask me like the craziest things, how to douche, things like that, how to douche, but like also like with personal reflection, you know, things, and especially when it comes to like faith and spirituality. Yeah. So don't be afraid to reach out to people.
Yeah.
You know, the worst thing people can, or someone can say, is that they don't have time at that moment, mm-hmm. you know, but there will always be time for you.
Yeah. They'll make time. You know? Can you share anything that's like fun and sexy, or like a funny, sexy story, or a, like just a reflection of your sex? Something we don't know about your sex.
Sure. I don't even know what people don't. I don't even know people what people do. Know. Yeah, you know, like I'm an open book, you know. This is something I was thinking about earlier also. I had something I wanted to say, but it completely lost my mind. Threesomes. What? Was
what?
It three ways? It was something to do with a three way. I remember I wanted to say something now. The book just reminded me. But no, I'm like an open book. You know, I'm very horny. I have sex a lot.
That's great. Is your relationship open? Is it quite like monogamous? Are you keeping it? I know you're keeping it protected, which I really love, but are you keeping it protected to just you two?
I can say we are in a opening relationship where we see to one another's needs, you know. So whether it be just with between each other, or whether there is a need for other people to be involved, we mm-hmm. are open to what we need and how we can help one another achieve that.
Oh my word, I love that. You know, the needs need to be satisfied.
It has to.
The itches need to be scratched. You know.
All of them.
And if you're going to reach, bring a friend to help.
Exactly. Because, I mean, like, that's also where it comes, especially like our relationship is not like conventional at all, you know.
It's good.
I told him yesterday, I was like, you're like, I really appreciate you so much, because like, I would have never expected myself to be in such a kind of relationship that's not even on any kind of book, you know. But that is a thing also where you have to kind of like deconstruct what it is to be in a relationship, you know, like, and how power also comes into play. Because I always tell him, he's very adorable. He's so sweet, but he's like, yeah, I belong to him and things like that. I'm like, yes, baby, like, I belong to you and you belong to me as well.
Are you going to start singing?
Yeah, we belong together. But also, you know, how can I say, I'm very humble, you know, if I do say so myself. But like, you belong, don't make eyes.
Like, the one thing you're not is humble.
Don't
like,
make eyes.
This is the night that's the whole time how beautiful they are and how standing the body is and
no,
how
but like,
the tully is.
Why?
It's just like, but I'm humble. Humble.
I am.
Humble does not go with Zayir.
I'm like, not lying. I'm just stating the facts. You know, it's truths that exist in the world already. You know, I'm just emphasizing it.
Sure.
Yeah. What was I saying now? I forgot.
You are humble.
No, but in the sense of yeah, like we are in an open relationship, but like I always explain to him, the biggest form of self-love that you can have is realizing that you belong to yourself. Because also the whole point of belonging is also, it reminds me a lot of slavery, and I'm just like, you belong to yourself, baby. Like,
yes. I love that, because we mustn't be possessive.
Possessive
is taught to us by the white people.
Yes.
By capitalism, by patriarchy, and that is exactly like you say, that is colonialism.
It is.
And so we are not owned, and no one owns us, and we don't own anybody.
We just
exist.
Exist.
And we exist, and we thrive, and yes, we celebrate, and we love. And we can share each other's loves and bodies and celebrations of each other. But we are ourselves. Zahir, thank you so much for being on this podcast.
Thank
and for
you
having
for having
this conversation.
Me.
You said the baby queers can reach out, and the like young Muslim people that are looking at you, where can they reach out?
They can reach out to me on social media. I am on Instagram and Twitter. I have so many online personalities. I don't know which are the right ones now. My Instagram is not your top. Yes, that's my. You follow my personal though, but that's mm-hmm. personal. They yes. don't need to know that. So IG not your top, and Twitter is not your top yet. Mm-hmm. I think, just Marshall Adol. Yeah.
Okay. While we wrap this up, not your top? Are you a top? Are you a bottom? Like,
I am very much a top, but I'm also very open-minded and fluid, and it all boils down to your needs and what your body is craving, you know. So I'm very, I wouldn't say that I'm verse because, yeah, I am versed. Mm-hmm. I'm versed, but I'm a top. Yeah.
Okay, I love that. Based around pleasure and your needs.
Yeah.
Thank you, Zahir. And thank you, everyone, for listening to another episode of Open Wide Say with Leka Lolas. I can't believe this is season 2 happening. And yeah, I'm just grateful. So
I'm grateful
so
to you.
Shukran to you.
Afwan. Afwan.
Thank you, everyone.
Cheers, eh?
Yes, sir.